All right, diving in today. We've got some pretty intense material.
Yeah.
All about fast food and its impacts.
Yeah, definitely not light reading today.
The core of this deep dive is excerpts from Fast Food Genocide. It's by Dr. Joel Fuhrman. Buckle up, because I think this one is going to really challenge how we think about burgers and fries and all that.
Dr. Fuhrman, he doesn't really mince words, does he?
No, he does not.
I mean, using the term genocide, like, right off the bat, that definitely makes you stop and think.
Yeah, it's a strong word, and he doesn't just throw it around lightly.
Mm-hmm.
He's making this powerful statement about how the fast food industry targets vulnerable communities.
Right.
Especially in areas where there's not a lot of access to healthy food.
Makes sense.
But there's tons of fast food.
Yeah.
And it's cheap, and it's easy to get.
Yeah.
He even compares this lack of access and the health problems that come with it to, like, the deliberate destruction of a population.
Wow.
It's a challenging argument, for sure.
Yeah.
And he doesn't let the medical establishment off the hook either.
Oh, really?
He says a lot of doctors are too quick to offer these Band-Aid solutions. Surgeries, pills.
Yeah, just treating the symptoms.
Instead of addressing the root cause, which is diet.
Right, right. Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg.
Exactly.
He's saying that just masks the problem. And it lets this food-induced health crisis just keep escalating.
And when you look at the health risks he outlines, it's hard to say that there isn't a crisis.
Oh, I bet.
It's not just about expanding waistlines. He links fast food directly to way higher risks of serious conditions. Heart attacks, strokes, even multiple types of cancer.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
It is.
So he's saying that, like, eating fast food regularly increases your risk of a heart attack, like, tenfold compared to someone who eats a reasonably healthy diet?
Tenfold, yeah.
Wow. So, like, for you, choosing a salad over a burger could drastically reduce your risk.
Yeah, and for someone following his nutritarian diet, which we'll talk more about later, the risk drops even further.
Even further? How much further?
He claims it's a hundredfold less risk.
A hundredfold.
Yeah. But the question is why?
Yeah, why?
Why is fast food so much worse than other foods?
Right.
What makes it so different?
Yeah.
What one factor he highlights is the high glycemic index of fast food.
The glycemic index. Okay. Yeah. Remind me what that is again.
So that means these foods cause your blood sugar to spike really rapidly.
Oh.
Which can lead to insulin resistance, diabetes, and just a ton of other problems over time.
So it's like a cascade of negative effects.
Exactly. And then there's this concept of the bliss point.
Bliss point. That sounds kind of nice.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's kind of sinister when you think about it. It's like scientists have cracked the code of our taste buds.
Really? So they're like engineering these foods to be addictive.
They're figuring out the exact combinations of sugar, salt, and fat that trigger the most pleasure in our brains.
And they use that in fast food.
It's like they've hijacked our biology.
Wow.
And then what's even worse, this constant bombardment of these crazy, intense flavors, it actually desensitizes our taste buds.
Oh, so like we can't even taste the natural sweetness of fruit anymore.
Right, or vegetables. It creates this cycle where we just crave more and more of those unhealthy ingredients.
It's a vicious cycle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not just our physical health that's at stake.
You're talking about like our brains, right?
He argues that fast food can actually impair how our brains function.
Really?
And affect everything from our mood to our behavior.
Wow.
He links it to things like aggression, problems with learning and focus.
Really?
Even a greater risk of things like ADHD and autism.
That's crazy. What does he blame for all this?
So he blames a few key culprits: sugar, unhealthy fats, and the chemical additives.
So all that stuff can mess up your brain chemistry?
Yeah.
Okay.
He specifically calls out this high omega-6 to omega-3 ratio in fast food.
Omega-6 and omega-3, those are those fatty acids, right?
Yeah, and we need both types. But the typical Western diet, especially one heavy on fast food, it's totally loaded with these omega-6s. And those can promote inflammation throughout the body.
Oh, okay.
Including in the brain. Mm. It's all about finding that balance.
Got it.
And to show just how serious all this is, he draws some pretty interesting parallels to other public health crises.
Oh, like what?
Well, one comparison he makes is to the fight against cigarette addiction.
So he's saying it's like that big of a problem?
He argues that we're facing a similar battle against the fast food industry.
Wow.
And then there's this historical example of pellagra.
Pellagra.
You familiar with that?
Not really.
It was this disease caused by a niacin deficiency. And it was widespread in the American South in the early 1900s.
Oh, wow.
And what's interesting about pellagra is that it caused dementia-like symptoms, including aggression and violence.
So, like, what we eat or don't eat can affect how we behave as a whole society.
It's a really stark illustration of that.
Yeah.
And then he explains how the rise of the fast food industry, after World War II, it totally transformed how Americans eat.
Yeah.
All these processed foods became so convenient and affordable,
Right.
and the marketing was everywhere.
So people just stopped cooking at home.
It became so much easier and cheaper just to grab a burger and fries than to cook a healthy meal.
Yeah, that's so true.
And he says this shift is at the heart of a lot of the health and social problems we see today.
So it's like fast food is kind of at the root of it all.
He argues that, yeah.
Wow, that's a pretty bleak picture. But surely he offers some
He
solutions.
does. He does. He doesn't just leave us in despair.
Thank
He
goodness.
does offer solutions and some glimmers of hope.
Okay, good. Like what?
He's a huge advocate for this thing he calls a nutritarian diet.
Nutritarian diet. Okay.
Yeah. And it's basically a diet rich in whole plant foods.
Okay.
And he has this great acronym that makes it easy to remember all the vital nutrients.
Oh, I love a good acronym. What is it?
He calls them GBOMBS.
GBMBS.
Yeah. Greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds.
Okay, I'm writing this down. GBOMBS.
These foods are packed with nutrients, and he says they offer significant protection against disease.
So it's not about deprivation.
No.
It's about abundance. Abundant nutrients, that is.
Exactly. And he doesn't just focus on the food itself. He also talks about this thing he calls social energy.
Social energy.
Yeah. And positive connections.
So, like, your social life can affect your health.
He argues that having strong social connections, a sense of belonging, that can actually encourage healthy habits
Yeah.
and help us resist those unhealthy foods.
That's
It's
interesting.
about community and support.
So it's not just about willpower. It's about like having people around you who share your value.
Exactly. And he even highlights some programs that are successfully tackling the problem of food deserts.
Food deserts.
Yeah, those areas where it's hard to get fresh, healthy food.
Right.
He talks about things like the FRESH program and the Green Carts program in New York City. Those aim to bring fresh produce into low-income neighborhoods.
So those are actually working.
These programs show that change is possible, that we can create a food environment that supports health for everyone.
That's really encouraging.
Yeah, it is. So what about us? What about individuals? What can we do?
Right. What can we do?
The book actually offers some practical advice for making the switch to a healthier diet.
Okay, let's hear it.
He recommends avoiding fried foods and cooking oils, which he believes are particularly harmful. He even calls French fries cancer fries.
Cancer fries. I'm never going to look at fries the same way again.
I know, right?
So salads and steamed veggies are in.
Yes.
Those crispy fries, out. That sizzling stir fry, out.
Yeah, it's a big shift for sure.
It is.
But he does provide a ton of meal plans and recipes in the book to show that a nutritarian diet can actually be delicious and satisfying. Think vibrant salads with homemade dressings,
Okay.
hearty lentil stews,
I love lentils.
even creamy, decadent desserts, but made with things like dates and nuts.
So you can still have dessert.
You can still have dessert.
Okay, I'm listening.
But what about those cravings? How do you
What?
overcome that?
Yeah, those cravings for salty, sugary snacks. What does he say about that?
So he says the key is completely cutting out those trigger foods.
Oh, man.
Not moderation. He's talking about breaking the addiction. He compares it to quitting smoking. He
Wow.
says the cravings will be really intense at first, but they'll fade as your taste buds adjust. But
Oh.
that's easier said than done.
It is. I mean, those bliss points, they're powerful.
They are.
It's like our brains are wired to want that stuff. So
Yeah.
what can we do?
He emphasizes the importance of social support.
Okay.
Having people around you, family, friends,
Yeah.
even online communities,
Right.
people who share your goals, it can really make a difference.
So you're not going it alone.
Exactly. It's
That
about
might.
creating that environment that supports these new healthy habits
Okay, so support is key.
and shifting your mindset. He says that feeling good about yourself, having a positive outlook, it actually makes it easier to stick to those habits.
Well, okay, so it's not just about willpower.
Right.
It's also about self-care
Yeah.
and feeling good about yourself.
And he even suggests incorporating activities that boost your social energy, like spending time with loved ones, joining a club,
Oh, okay.
volunteering in your community.
Yeah.
He says all those things can actually have a positive effect on your eating habits.
So feeling connected and engaged can help you make healthier choices.
It can.
I like that.
It gives you a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And he also talks about nutritional supplements.
The supplements.
Particularly for those with specific deficiencies, like vegans and vegetarians who might need a supplement with B12.
Right.
Or kids who are picky eaters.
Yeah.
But he's very clear that supplements should never replace a whole foods diet.
Right. They're just to fill the gaps.
Exactly.
Not to be like your main source of nutrition.
And he cautions against going overboard with supplements, especially folic acid and iron.
Oh, really?
They can have unintended consequences, especially during pregnancy. He really stresses getting blood tests to figure out what your needs are and working with a doctor to find the best approach.
So personalized nutrition.
It's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
And throughout the book, he keeps saying, listen to your body.
Makes sense.
Pay attention to how different foods make you feel.
Right.
It's about becoming more mindful.
More aware.
Of our eating habits and tuning in to those subtle cues.
Yeah.
It's a journey, not a destination.
I like that. So we've covered a lot already in this first part of our deep dive. We've kind of explored the dark side of the fast food industry. We've delved into the science behind nutrition and started uncovering steps we can take to reclaim our health.
And there's so much more to come.
There is.
Stay tuned for part two, where we're going to delve deeper into the societal and economic impacts of fast food.
Okay.
And examine Dr. Furman's specific recommendations for transitioning to a nutritarian diet.
Looking forward to it.
Welcome back. Still diving deep into fast food genocide, looking at Dr. Furman's claims about the consequences of a fast food heavy diet.
You know, one of the things that really stood out to me was how he connects fast food not just to our individual health, but also to bigger societal problems.
Yeah.
Like a ripple effect.
He's arguing that the rise in fast food has contributed to things like higher crime rates.
Yeah.
That seems like a bit of a stretch, doesn't it? I mean, can a burger really lead someone to commit a crime?
He's not saying it's a direct, like, cause and effect, but he does bring up these studies. They show a connection between bad nutrition and aggression.
Okay.
Especially with diets full of processed foods and sugary drinks.
So he's suggesting a society hooked on fast food could become more prone to conflict.
Could be.
More volatile.
Yeah.
So it's not just individual health, but the well-being of our communities.
Exactly.
And he looks at the economic impact, too.
Oh, yeah. He talks about how the healthcare costs from treating all these chronic diseases linked to fast food are astronomical.
It's got to be a huge burden on our healthcare system.
Absolutely. And the economy as a whole.
It's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
Fast food's marketed as affordable, but it ends up costing us a fortune in the long run.
Right, with all the health problems. And he also talks about food deserts.
Those areas where it's hard to find fresh, healthy food.
Exactly. They often overlap with low-income communities, making the problem even worse.
So the people who can least afford to get sick are the ones most likely to be exposed to unhealthy food.
It's a tough cycle to break. And then there are the racial disparities in health outcomes.
He points out that African Americans are hit harder by these chronic diseases.
Yeah.
He links it to historical factors like poverty and discrimination, things that have shaped access to good food and health care in those communities.
It's complex, for sure. But he also talks about people and organizations trying to fix these inequities.
Yeah, he talks about the Appleton Central Alternative Charter High School. They changed their students' health completely.
Wow.
They implemented this whole nutrition and wellness program.
What kind of things did they do?
Changed the food they served, taught kids about nutrition, got them moving more.
That's awesome. Proof that even small efforts can make a difference.
And he mentions former Mayor Bloomberg's initiatives in New York City.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about those.
Things like the FRESH aid program.
Okay.
And the Green Carts program, trying to get supermarkets into underserved areas, make it easier to sell fresh produce.
Yeah, those are some cool policy level changes.
So even though his picture of the fast food landscape is pretty grim,
yeah,
he does offer a roadmap for change.
Both for individuals and for society as a whole.
He thinks education is key.
Yeah, knowing the science behind nutrition.
So we can make good choices about what we eat.
Right. And he reminds us we don't have to do this alone.
He talks about support from family, friends, online groups. Having people who share your goals can be a huge help.
Totally.
He thinks collective action combined with individual effort is how we break free from this fast food cycle.
So it's not just changing our own habits. It's about advocating for better policies.
For everyone to have access to healthy food.
Right. He's saying food isn't just fuel.
It's about our health, our communities, our future.
Yeah. And our choices matter, not just for us, but for the generations that come after. He urges us to remember that even small changes can make a difference.
Like eating more greens.
Yeah, or going to your local farmer's market.
Those little things can contribute to a bigger movement for positive change.
It's kind of empowering, right? We're not helpless. We each have the power to make a difference.
So we've covered the problem, the history, the science, possible solutions, and the societal impact. What does it all mean for the listener?
What should they take away from all this?
Dr. Furman would say the answer lies within each of us.
Okay.
You have the power to choose what you eat.
Right.
How you nourish your body.
How you participate in the food system.
He gives a lot of practical advice in the book, but the first step is awareness.
Right. Understanding the consequences of fast food.
And recognizing the power of food to heal.
Yeah, food can be medicine.
And it's about seeing that food is connected to our social and economic systems.
It's all intertwined.
So it's not just individual choices. It's about pushing for a food system that puts health first for everyone.
Absolutely. And supporting those working towards that.
He also wants us to challenge the status quo.
He says real change means getting out of our comfort zones.
Speaking up against those powerful interests.
It's about recognizing that this fight is worth having.
For a healthier food system.
Yeah, and that we all have a role to play.
We've covered a lot in this deep dive.
A lot of ground, but there's always more to explore.
In the next part, we'll look at Dr. Furman's specific recommendations for switching to a nutritarian diet.
We'll talk about the benefits and the challenges.
We'll look at the role of supplements.
And explore social energy and its impact on our well-being.
Stay with us. Okay, welcome back. So we've explored these really concerning claims about the fast food industry and what it does to us.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
But now let's get practical. Let's say you've heard all this and you've decided, you know what, I'm ditching the drive-through. I want to embrace this nutritarian lifestyle. Where do you even begin?
Well, Dr. Furman does lay out a pretty clear roadmap in his book.
Okay.
But I think the most important place to start is with those nutrient powerhouses, the GBOMBS.
Right, the greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds.
Exactly. He argues that those foods should really be the foundation of your diet.
Okay. So it's not just about adding the good stuff. He's also pretty strict about avoiding some things.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the fried foods and cooking oils.
He really goes after those, doesn't he?
He calls French fries cancer fries.
Yeah, not exactly appetizing.
No, it really sticks with you. He says that oils, even the ones we think are healthy, they're just too calorie dense.
Yeah.
And they don't have any real nutrients. And then when you heat them up to those high temperatures, they can actually become harmful.
So that means salads are in, steamed veggies are in.
Yes.
Bean-based dishes are in, but the crispy fries, sizzling stir fry.
Also out. It's a big change, I know.
It is. It's a whole different way of thinking about food.
But Dr. Furman gives tons of recipes to show that this way of eating can be delicious.
Yeah, I was going to say, it can't be all salads and steamed broccoli.
No. He's got vibrant salads with homemade dressings, hearty lentil stews, even creamy desserts, but made with things like dates and nuts.
Okay, now that you mention it, I am getting a little hungry.
But how do you fight those cravings? The cravings for the salty, sugary stuff, those bliss points.
He's pretty clear on that. He says you gotta cut out those sugar foods completely.
Oh man, no cheating.
No cheating. He says it's not about moderation, it's about breaking the addiction, like quitting smoking.
I can see how that would be really tough. Those bliss points are powerful. Our brains are wired to want that stuff.
Yeah. And he acknowledges that it's not easy. That's why he talks about social support. Having people around you who are on the same journey, it can make all the difference.
Family, friends, support groups, online communities, whatever works for you.
Exactly. You need that support to keep you motivated and accountable. It's so much easier when you're not doing it alone.
So it's not just about what you're eating, but also who you're surrounding yourself with. Creating that environment that supports these healthy choices.
Exactly. And it's about your mindset, too. He says that if you feel good about yourself, if you have a positive outlook, it's actually easier to stick to these new habits.
So it's about self-care, self-love. It's not just about willpower.
Exactly. And he even suggests doing things that boost your social energy, spending time with people you love, joining a club, volunteering, things that make you feel connected and engaged. He says those things can actually have a ripple effect on your eating habits, too.
I can see that. When you're feeling good about yourself, when you have a purpose, those healthy choices just feel more natural.
Right. And he does talk about supplements.
For people with specific deficiencies.
Vegans and vegetarians who might need B12. Picky eaters. But he's very clear that supplements should never be a substitute for a whole foods diet.
Just to fill in the gaps.
Well,
not the main event.
And he warns against overdoing it with certain supplements, especially folic acid and iron. They can actually cause problems, especially during pregnancy. He really stresses getting your blood work done. Figure out exactly what you need. Talk to your doctor. Don't just start taking a bunch of pills.
Personalized nutrition, not one size fits all.
Exactly. And one of the biggest takeaways from the book, I think, is this idea of listening to your body. Pay attention to how different foods make you feel. Become more mindful.
More aware of what you're putting in your body and how it affects you. It's a journey, not a destination.
He stresses that there will be bumps along the way. We're all human. We all slip up sometimes. But the important thing is to not get discouraged.
Learn from those mistakes and keep moving forward.
Exactly.
Well, this deep dive has taken us on quite a journey.
It has.
We started with this really alarming look at the fast food industry. Then we got into the science of nutrition. And now we've even touched on some really practical steps you can take to change your own life and maybe even help create a better food system for everyone. It's been a lot to process.
It has.
But I think Dr. Furman, even though his book has this really intense title, Fast Food Genocide, he leaves us with a sense of hope.
I think so too.
He reminds us that we have more control than we think
We have the power to make choices.
about what we eat, about how we nourish our bodies, about how we engage with the world around us.
And those choices matter, not just for us, but for future generations.
So thanks for joining us on this deep dive into fast food genocide. We hope you learned something, we hope you're feeling inspired, and we hope you'll keep exploring these ideas and keep making those healthy choices.
Yeah, keep learning and keep questioning. And until next time, take care of yourselves.